But trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. Heaven lies about us in our infancy. As you've probably gathered, this Sunday is the last Sunday of Epiphany. And traditional gospel reading for this day is the story of the Transfiguration. The time when Jesus led the disciples, Peter, James, and John, up a high mountain and was there changed in appearance before them. The word epiphany literally means to make manifest. In other words, to see something in a deeper way. Thus, the season of Epiphany began with the story of the wise men, who journeyed from the east bearing gifts for the holy child, Jesus. When they arrived at the place, they saw more than a baby, the glory of God made manifest in the infant Jesus. So, likewise, in the story of the Transfiguration, at the moment when Jesus is changed in appearance before the disciples on the mountain, they see Jesus for who he really is, the glory of God made manifest in human form. At the heart of these stories is not just the identity of Jesus as the divine being of God, but our identity as well, as children of God, made in God's image. The Transfiguration of Jesus, I would suggest, reminds us of these things. All three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, recount the story of the Transfiguration. When the appearance of Jesus is changed before the disciples, they also behold a vision of Jesus talking with the patriarch Moses and the prophet Elijah. Moses represents the founding of the people of Israel. The story of the people of Israel, the story of the Bible, if you will, does not begin with Genesis. It begins with Exodus. The oldest text in the Hebrew Scriptures will be found in Exodus, the Song of Miriam. Genesis only provides the backstory to get us to that place. So Moses represents the founding of the people of Israel, and Elijah the prophet represents that prophet who restored the people of Israel to that which Moses founded. In between Moses and Elijah is a whole history of the people of Israel. How they Abraham went, as God instructed him, to a land that I will show you, and then from there into Egypt, and then from Egypt into the wilderness, from wilderness into the promised land. From the promised land they wanted to have kings, so you have Saul and Samuel the prophet and David and so on. And then eventually you have the splitting of the kingdoms, and then the exile in Babylon, and then the restoration. Elijah fits into that end period of restoration. And so you have on one end of the spectrum Moses, and at the other end of the spectrum Elijah, both of whom are visioned speaking with Jesus. In other words, the Transfiguration is a story of birth and death and rebirth, a symbolism which the early church would have found all too familiar. For if you think about it, The whole of Scripture is about birth and death and rebirth. So consider for a moment. The Gospel of Mark, the earliest Gospel that we have, begins with the baptism of Jesus. The birth narratives that we follow at Christmas come much later in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Mark begins with the baptism. And his Gospel ends, as the others do, with the Passion and Resurrection. And right in the middle, like the spine of a book, Mark places the Transfiguration. So the image is like that of a triptych, a painting with three panels, such as you find in the old medieval cathedrals and churches. On the left-hand panel, we might imagine the image of the baptism of Jesus. And on the right-hand panel, we might imagine a painting of the Passion of Jesus. And in the middle, the Transfiguration. And each panel speaks to its neighbor. That's one of the things to learn. One of the first things to learn about Scripture is Scripture talks to Scripture. It's no accident that in our lectionary, the Old Testament lesson always reflects the Gospel. Scripture speaks to Scripture. And so in a triptych that we've imagined, each panel talks to each panel. And in the doing, a metamorphosis takes place, a transformation. At the baptism of Jesus, we hear the voice of God declare, "This is my Son, of whom I am well pleased." At the Passion, Jesus passes from life to death and new life. And at the Transfiguration, the disciples see Jesus for who Jesus really is, the divine of God. As a Christian apologist, C.S. Lewis might say of this, there is deep magic here. For in this triptych is to be found the true identity of Jesus, God made manifest in human form, who came to remind us of our true identity as children of God. In the Eastern Church, the Orthodox tradition, Epiphany was and still is the time when new converts to the faith would be baptized. So it was fitting that a few moments ago, that's why we're a bit late getting off the blocks for the 10:15 service, we had a baptism this morning. The Westgate godchild, Wesley Anders, a good Wesleyan Anglican name, was baptized, the son of Aubrey Westgate, Aubrey Askey, and her husband Brian. In the service of holy baptism, at the part we call the thanksgiving over the water, the priest says these words, "We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit." So deeply embedded in this prayer is the whole story of our creation, the story of our fall, and the story of our restoration in Christ. I don't know whether you caught it. I was reminded of it because I think it was one of the first baptisms I actually performed in this church. But I began my sermon with a quote from a poem by William Wordsworth, who wrote an ode on imitations of immortality from recollections of early childhood. Actually, it could easily be mistaken as a passage from Scripture, for it reflects the story of our creation. Wordsworth writes, "But trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. Heaven lies about us in our infancy." As St. Augustine was to point out so graphically in his Confessions, and Wordsworth was to meditate on in his poem, if heaven lies about us in our infancy, it does not take long for us to lose that innocence. The innocence to which we were born. Thus, in some way, the story of the Transfiguration serves to remind us not just who Jesus is, but what God does for us through Jesus. Restores our innocence in the eyes of God. I have likened the story of the Transfiguration to the centerpiece of a triptych. A triptych is like an icon. An icon is a painting which allows us to see beyond the image itself to the divine image which lies beyond. In that sense, the Transfiguration of Jesus is the ultimate epiphany. An icon through which we see the manifestation of God in human beings, allowing us a glimpse of that of which we were made at our creation, and to which we will be restored at the resurrection. All of this wrapped up in the baptism of a baby. From birth to death, life has been likened to a journey where at each stage we are invited to experience transfiguration moments of our own, glimpses of God in Christ reflecting our own identity as children of God. We humans place a lot of importance on identity. Have you noticed? And sometimes we tend to be rather too quick to judge when a person's identity, or our own for that matter, doesn't quite match the image we believe God should have of them. So as we stand on the threshold of Lent, it is important we not lose sight of the reality that the poet Wordsworth would have us see. That we came into this world trailing clouds of glory. And deep, deep down, we still do. Amen.